Kia ora, good afternoon and welcome to the Rural News. I'm Maya Burry in Christchurch. Velvet exporters are reporting sluggish demand so far this season, with concerns about increasing supply leaving some importers reluctant to commit to orders. As well as farming for venison, many deer farmers harvest antler velvet and export it to the lucrative Asian market, where it's believed to have healing properties. Deer Industry New Zealand says after a decade of reasonable increases in prices and volumes, the growth in the velvet crop here is starting to weigh on prices. PGG Wrightson's velvet manager, Tony Cochrane, says sales started early in November, but moving stock has been a bit tougher this year.
Last year, we probably averaged around about 135 net to farmers. After all charges. This year, we're probably looking at around that sort of high 120s, 130-ish, which is still very profitable, but it's just a case of, you know, not letting it drop to the extent that other buyers, I guess more so traders, are trying to push for it out of the market, which is to come back 20%.
And do you think they're pushing for that because they know there has been growth in the velvet harvest here?
Oh, totally. And I think that, you know, we needed to, I guess, open our eyes to the fact that we just can't keep adding more and more production, more tonnage, and expect that the price will always hold up.
That's Tony Cochrane from PGG Wrightson. Well, now to a story about a vegetable that'll feature on many dinner plates tomorrow. The pea harvest is well underway on farms in the main growing region of Canterbury. New Zealand produces about 60,000 tonnes of peas a year, earning about $50 million in domestic sales and $80 million in exports. Pea expert Simon McCormick is a crop supply agronomist. He told Country Life's Cosmo Kentish-Barnes he's worked at Watties for 42 years, and during his career he's seen the local industry go from strength to strength.
In that time I've seen a factory at Christchurch go from doing 4,000 or 5,000 tonnes to over 30,000 tonnes. It's really grown, and that's what's kept us all involved. You know, we have a great depth of growers who contract with us every year. We have a great team who come back every year and operate our harvesters. And in the factory, we have a fair bit of experience there. And I think every year we look back and think, well, we made the odd mistake. Things didn't quite go how we would like them to, weather-wise. So, you know, we've got to start again, and we get that opportunity every year to start again and go through the season, hopefully planting as much as our marketing people can handle, and also harvesting every crop. It's a very important thing for our growers to see us come in the gate and take them away.
That's Simon McCormick from Watties. 2020 looks set to be an interesting year for the global dairy market, according to Rabobank's latest Dairy Quarterly report. Emma Higgins is an analyst at the bank. She says milk supply growth amongst the big seven exporting regions, which includes the US, EU and New Zealand, is expected to remain at or below 1% next year.
So despite milk checks rising largely across the world and certainly in the main exporting regions, what we're seeing is still margin pressure across most of those exporting regions, except for the US. And as a result, we think that's going to be one of the major drivers as to why we think that milk production will be below 1% year on year combined for all of those regions. So that is very modest growth, particularly when we look at historical standards. We think that is the major reason why commodity prices will remain elevated across the course of the next 12 to 18 months. And that's in addition to steady demand from China, although we do think it'll be the growth rate will be at a weaker rate compared to what we've seen certainly in the first half of this year.
It has been a kind of couple of tough years now for the EU and the US. Do you think that they are going to be able to turn things around at some point?
It has been really tough for the last two seasons in particular. And that's something that we're really watching, because we understand that some farmers in certain parts of Europe, particularly in the northwestern parts, are already starting to feed out some of their early spring cuts of silage. Now, we're not even in the depths of winter right now. Speaking from a European perspective, they haven't quite fully experienced the full blow of winter. So we are really watching with interest as to, obviously, their feed quality because of the drought and their feed quantity because they are starting to tap into some of those reserves already. Look, if they do get any physical weather, there won't be a lot of fat in the system to really push that through in terms of milk production. So that could be a potential upside from a New Zealand farmer perspective.
In Australia, certainly, I see a lot of stories about dairy farmers there giving it up. It's been pretty brutal for them, hasn't it?
It has been. Look, the weather conditions have been beyond challenging. Challenging is an understatement. And look, in terms of milk production, already they're behind by almost 6% for the first 4 months of their season. Our forecast is obviously for another decline. We've got almost 6% pegged for the full 1920 season. But yeah, look, again, at this point in time, a lot of it will depend on whether they get any rain over summer. And unfortunately, I don't believe the forecast is very favourable at this point in time.
That's Rabobank dairy analyst Emma Higgins. And just finally, farmers are being reminded to make sure their stock are well looked after during hot weather this summer. A senior analyst at Beef and Lamb, Will Halliday, says with hot and humid conditions comes flies, worms, heat stress and other illnesses that farmers need to be very aware of.
A huge one is actually pneumonia, and a lot of farmers will know this, but it's definitely worth reminding them, is that if you're going to be mustering animals, that's sheep and cattle, it's best to do it first thing in the morning or in the evening when it's cooler, so you're not putting them under any heat stress during the middle of the day. And if you're bringing them into the yards, it's a great idea to try and keep the dust down with a sprinkler if you can, so that they're not breathing in any of that dust, any of those particles that contain, you know, bugs and whatnot, that's going to lead to pneumonia down the track.
And then obviously access to water and shade is a biggie.
Access to water and shade is a biggie. It's not the time of year, obviously, to be planting trees, but it's a great time of year to be looking around at where trees could be planted that could provide shade for your animals. Access to water is critical. Obviously, you know, people taking holidays and things at this time of year, so make sure that if anyone's looking after your farm and your livestock, that they're really checking those troughs daily, checking those dams, and if they're, you know, if there's an issue with your water, do something about it quick as you can.
That's Will Halliday, who's a senior advisor at Beef and Lamb. And that ends the rural news for this year. We'll be back again on January 20th. Until then, have a great Christmas. Ka kite anō.